You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And good morning. Welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes along with Ian Welsh. Ian, again, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We will have more with you coming up in just a little bit, but first of all, across the table from me this morning, a guy that used to be with me every Wednesday for a number of years during the fall high school football season, but now he's changed his hats and he is the school board president of Mosinee Schools, Paul Novinsky. And Coach, I will still call you Coach. Good to see you.
Oh, Chad, it's good to be back. And Ian, it was always nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
It's good back. You've upgraded big time.
I was saying, have you been here before? Is this the first time?
I've come to visit, but never
but
to see.
Not on the air. So, yeah. But no, it was always such fun to having you on the big high school sports show. And I guess I'm gonna ask you this because kind of into your current role, for many years you've been part of the Mosinee community. When did you start coaching at Mosinee? How long?
I started coaching in 1990 in Mosinee.
And were you somebody that was a Mosinee native?
I originally went to Mosinee. Never thought I'd go back. I was actually at DC Everest.
Yeah.
And then just my old football coach called me and said, hey, we're going to have an opening and a football opening. And, you know, I'm going to be retiring and you probably could be the head football coach. And, you know, I'm like, well, you don't think about it at that time.
Right.
But you're like, wow.
And then how many years were you the head football coach?
I was the head football coach till 2015.
And then after that, you decided to step away from coaching. And part of what you did was work with us and that you were always around. And then now you've gone into elected officials and within your community at Mosinee. What made you decide that you wanted to be part of the school board?
Well, I'm always a person that likes to give to people service and give back and do the things. I thought I had an interesting perspective, mm-hmm. being a teacher, being a coach, being a parent. And so I wanted to provide some input and provide some leadership and some direction.
When did you first take a seat on the board?
April 2024.
What was the biggest learning curve? Because you do have a lot of experience. Number one, within Mosinee, but you know the community, you know the schools, but you had been a coach, so you've dealt with others in leadership positions.
Well,
what was the biggest transition?
A little bit. This is my second time being on the board.
Oh.
I was on the board in like 1986. I was a college student.
Oh, wow.
And Mosinee was going through a budget crisis, and we were going to cut some teachers. And some of the teachers were my friends, and so I became a school board member. And we kind of tried to solve that problem to the best of our ability. Then I went into teaching, mm-hmm. got off the board, and then was a teacher. And then when I got retired, I decided it was time to do it again. And so, again, my perspective with things is totally different.
Let me ask you about the board as a whole, because that's something that we were talking beforehand, and you talked about where the board is. You said that there's 9 members of the board. You, in an educational background, a Mosinee native, What are the backgrounds? Is there a mix in the backgrounds of the 9 folks on this board? Are there different life experiences on this board?
Yes, and I think that's a good thing. So we have 6 members that come from the different municipalities, and then 3 at large. It's a very large board, but it brings a lot of different perspectives to the situation. I think we function fairly well. I mean, what I mean by function very well is it's great that we have differences of opinions and we get input and we have discussions and then we try to make the best decisions that we can possibly make.
Frankly, that is something that should be very common, but it has not been very common. You become the president of the school board. It sounds like that has been something that has been a focus for you, trying to be in a leadership position on the school board. What are some of the goals that you brought into this position that you've tried to implement in your still short time as the president of the board?
Well, I think some of the things I wanted to do is to ensure that all of our students are successful in some ways and will eventually become positive contributing members of any community. The second thing is I wanted to provide some financial stability, and I'm very conservative with my money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm also very conservative with the taxpayer money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a person that believes we need accountability and we shouldn't just spend money for the sake of spending money. We need to look at what our results are and we need to be financially responsible to the taxpayers of the Mosinee School District. The other thing I wanted to do is I wanted to install something that, as you alluded to, that's been kind of lost. The ability to disagree, yet still be civil, still be respectful, and still be polite, and come up with decisions that you can work together to create where you're not personally attacking people, you're not fighting against each other, you're actually working for one cause, and that's to educate the students in the Mosinee School District.
Coming up in our next segment of the WXCO Morning Report, we'll have more with Mosinee School Board President Paul Novinsky. Also want to let you know that what you hear this morning is only part of the conversation that I was able to have with Paul Novinsky last week. The entirety of our interview is available on YouTube. We had filmed it on YouTube. Go to YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO part of YouTube, our channel, and you'll be able to see and hear the entirety of our discussion with Paul Novinsky. And also, when we put out our podcast, our daily podcast, just after 9 a.m. this morning, you'll be able to hear the entirety of the interview as well. So again, we are hearing most of the discussion, but there are some other areas that we're able to get into with Paul Novinsky, so you'll be able to hear the entirety on the podcast and hear and see the entirety again if you go to YouTube.com and the 98.9 WXCO channel there as well. But we'll be back with another segment with Paul Novinsky on the WXCO Morning Report at 7:22. Coming up next, it is a top-of-the-hour information update, followed by more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow right here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. I'm Chad Holmes. And this morning, hearing a conversation I had late last week with the president of the Mosinee School Board, Paul Novinsky. And we continued by talking about the importance of listening to the constituents, even in a case where you may disagree on a potential item for a referendum, like we saw in Mosinee in the past year.
Yeah, Chad, absolutely correct. I spent most of my coaching, teaching career building relationships and building teams that were better than individuals. Paul Novinsky is just one person, and I don't know everything. Matter of fact, construction is one thing you do not want me to do. You don't want me to build a doghouse because your dog would not like me. So the concept is to how can we create something better than one individual? How can our community do it? And so I made the motion for the referendum, and we sent out numerous surveys and to get responses, and then we went and talked to people. I love just going for a Friday fish fry at a local place and, hi, hey, tell me what you think. And that's a big factor I think we were missing, where they weren't listening. You, there's a big thing, I can hear you, but will I listen to you? And their input is really important, and it was. We had some major fundamental problems in the Mosinee School District with facilities. We had a cafeteria that was built in 1965. We had pipe issues. At one point, the ovens had caught on fire. We had locker rooms that were not remodeled since 1965. We had tech ed rooms that weren't adequate for what we were trying to do. Woods Project, space, things like that. We had security issues. We had some roof issues. We had some fundamental issues. Initially, there was talk of adding a gymnasium. And this is what you alluded to. Personally, I was all for the gymnasium. But that's not what the constituents in the Mosin East School District said. And that's what I was representing. So when I made the motion, we took the gym out. And there was no need for it. 30% of the people said they would support a gym when 70 said no. And so we went with what we felt we could show the people was legitimate concerns and was very financially responsible with their money. So we went for $19.75 million to basically fix all the issues, the cafeteria, the locker rooms, some of the space, the doors, windows, things that needed to be fixed, especially security. Mm-hmm. Securities, yeah. And I hope this never happens to anybody, but you have to be prepared for some things that if they do happen. But we wanted to have a two-door entrance where if somebody tried to get in, they would have to go through two security phases, mm-hmm. and then we hope that would be time to get the proper authorities there. So we did that. We then went and did a campaign of informing our voters. Vote yes signs. Mm-hmm. I spent most of my time going to local establishments mm-hmm. and taking the pictures, the brochures, and just honestly answering the questions about what this will cost you, why we're doing it, and then we had open houses.
Mm-hmm. Remember that.
Don't believe me totally. Mm-hmm. Come in and check it out for yourself. We'll show you where those pipes are leaking. We'll show you this, you know. And
you mentioned that you had somebody come in and said, hey, that's my locker from 1972.
Yep, there was one guy that came in and said, yep, that's the same football locker I had in 1972.
And one other point I'll make is that the discussion that we had on these airwaves back in the run-up to that referendum with the school board president and your superintendent, you were the one that facilitated it. So obviously communication is a hallmark for what you're trying to accomplish within your community.
According to the Mosin East School Board policies, the president is the spokesperson. So that's why I felt it was Mr. Hermaning to come in. He did a great job. Mm-hmm. Mr. Doverspike and really did a nice job, and you did a nice job of just getting the information out. This isn't political.
Right.
This is all about what is the right thing to do. And they were very honest and very transparent. And through all this, through the campaign of yes, going out to talk to people, positively answering questions, making sure the concerns were addressed, it passed last year in November, 65%.
And you don't see that very often, to be honest with you.
I think we had 34 referendums in Mosin East fail.
I mean, and to pass, and it makes, and bottom line is, when you do have a referendum that passes, you don't want it to be 50+1%. I mean, it's like, yeah, you want it to be where the community says, yes, this is what we want, and that, I thought that was, again, something that was very much a very important piece of showing how it should be done.
Well, and then, Jed, we had talked off the air, and we're going to talk now about it, but almost 70% of all the constituents in the Mosin East School District really don't have kids or grandkids that are in the school. And so we wanted to provide an opportunity to build relationships, and how can we help you? How can you use the school? How can we let you see your tax dollars that will benefit you? Well, we have a great pool. Mm-hmm. The Kresge pool is mm-hmm. just incredible. We have open swim. We have aerobics open to all of our members of our school district in the morning all the way to like 9 o'clock. We have Saturday, Sunday, Friday. You can use our pool all the time. You can have birthday parties in the lobby. You can use our Kresge lobby and then use the pool for your birthday party. You can use our auditorium, our library. You can use our facilities. We have, matter of fact, we have dance studios come from Wausau to use. Now, we charge them because mm-hmm. they're not you know, it's not a great amount, but they love it because mm-hmm. it's a state-of-the-art auditorium. It's just wonderful. And so one of the things we want to do is, how can we provide a benefit to you that maybe don't have a direct impact with a child?
And we will continue with a few more minutes of the conversation with Mosinee School Board President Paul Novinsky. We'll be back at 7:52 for our next segment of the WXCO Morning Report. More Pat Kreitlow coming up next here on 98.9 WXCO. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh, and we're continuing a conversation that I had late last week with the president of the Mosinee School Board, Paul Novinsky, and continue to talk about the ways of being successful. And I think you can talk about this, whether it's at the school board level, whether it's at the state level, the national level, in terms of what you need to do in order to reach people, in order to get things done.
The other thing is, life is how you treat people, Chad. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what they do, or it's how you treat them. And so that's one of the things I tried to do as president. How do we treat the students, the staff, the administration, the board members, and the community members in the Mosinee School District? You can have disagreements with people. I just don't feel you need to personally attack and belittle the person. It's about their idea. It's about their plan. It's about their concept. It's not about their personality. Mm-hmm. And when you make that, it becomes really a war. You know, I don't like the words people use all the time, like, we've got to fight. I'm like, what are you fighting? Right. This is a discussion. This isn't. Now, you should use words like, we need to work. We need to work together. We need to compromise. We need to come up with great ideas.
Collaborate.
We need to understand people. We need to listen. Not just hear their words, but listen to their ideas and understand it. And sometimes you can have your mind change. It's happened to me many times. Mm. I used to, as a coach and as a teacher, I used to have kids say, hey, Mr. Novinsky, why don't we do it this way? And I'm like, yeah, why haven't I been doing it that way? This is the right way to do it. And so I think we've lost some of that ability. And in Mosinee, I think we're trying to bring it back. Just had a school board meeting last night. One of the things I didn't like about the school board meetings is you had to fill out an electronic form to talk at a school board meeting. I'm like, that's just wrong. So we went back to the old clipboard. You could talk about an agenda item. You could talk about a non-agenda item. The only thing you need to do is be a resident of our community. Or if you want to speak, you contact us. If you're somebody from outside the community, and we can give you permission to talk. Like if you have a service project, mm-hmm. you want to talk about stuff like that. So again, it's giving people the idea that their voice matters, and it does. And transparency, honesty, listening. And then learn to work together, collaborate. And when you have differences, there's nothing wrong with that. Just accept them. Don't make it personal and move on.
The idea that disagreements are personal attacks has to end in order for us to move forward as a society, right?
I agree.
That's really a bottom line thought. And it's sometimes easier said than done, but it starts with individuals and hopefully being able to do that.
Well, you hit it right on the point. And I've had kids all the time ask me, well, what can I do? You can take care of yourself. If every human being takes care of themselves with the idea that I'm going to listen, I'm going to collaborate, I'm not going to make personal attacks, it'll change rather quickly. It'll change in a day.
Makes it a lot more difficult for another person to then to attack you if you're treating them with respect.
Isn't well, it? The hardest, I tell this to a lot of people, the hardest thing I've had to do as a teacher and a coach is when somebody has personally attacked you, to not attack them back.
Right.
It's human reaction.
It is.
And when you do that, when you sit there and say to somebody, okay, I'm hearing you. Mm-hmm. I'm not agreeing with you, but I'm hearing, but I'm not going to personally attack you.
Again, we're talking to Paul Novinsky, the president of the Mosinee School Board here on 98.9 WXCO. Well, let's talk about the current issues that you and the board are talking about or dealing with, the school district itself is dealing with. Of course, last summer, it was another budget time where the education funding is one of the big topics that always is near the top of the list.
and talking to you beforehand. And you've enlightened me a little bit here in terms of what happened with the budget in terms of discussion of higher revenues, but it's not always what it seems. I would like you to maybe explain what you saw during the budget process, what ultimately happened, and how it does affect school districts like Mosinee.
Well, you notice that the state budget really affects a lot of people. It affects us more than the federal budget almost, yeah, because it's local dollars. The budget was approved with a $325 revenue increase per pupil. The only issue was that it wasn't funded. They didn't give you the $325. They gave you the permission to increase the revenue limits on the local taxpayers. I'm going to say that again. And just so all the listeners know, when you get your tax bill this year, you're going to see that $325 pupil increase. And we all know that the tax bill is probably one of the largest bills, property tax, that you're going to get. And I don't know if using property tax to fund education is the best way to do it, but it's the way we do. And so when you look at your property tax bill, you're going to see increases. And I just want everybody to know, like in the Mosinee School District, we're going to have a brief, you know, we had a referendum, so there was an increase there. But we also have this $325 increase that is going to be funded. So we can increase the revenue, but it's going to be funded by the local taxpayers. And that's going to affect Wausau, DCR, every school district. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see that there's a potential that your taxes will go up. And that can be an issue because people get generally upset because it's the largest. When you get your property tax bill, you're like, what?
Right.
It went up $100 again.
Mosinee School Board President Paul Novinsky. And again, there's plenty more of our discussion. We got going and we talked a whole bunch more and a little bit too much even to fit into three complete segments of the WXCO Morning Report. So again, I would encourage you as at the end of the program, there will be a link to the complete conversation, also a link to it on YouTube as well, unedited. So to hear everything that we had in our discussion with Paul Novinsky, you'll be able to get that again as part of our show notes. Part of our podcast page at WXCO.fm and the news segment as well. And again, I think Paul Novinsky is a guy that I've known for a long time and a guy that really is able to talk sense and I think talk to people eye to eye, no matter what the political persuasion is, very, very effective indeed. Well, coming up, it's more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and then Ian and I will be back at 8:22 here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
If you want me, you can find me left of center off of the street.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
How was your weekend?
Pretty quiet in our preparation for this upcoming Tech Week of Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, actually, I guess after we get done here this morning, you're heading right over to help in the build-in.
Yep, we're starting to load in nice and early today because we have a lot to do before our first official run through of this evening. But there's plenty of us in the cast and crew, and if we all work together and be patient, we should be able to get the set assembled to make sure we're all set for this for the final few days of rehearsals.
Absolutely. So again, the shows will be on Friday and Saturday at in the evening at 7:30. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Or 7 o'clock?
7:30. Yes.
7:30 on Friday night and Saturday, and then on Sunday and Saturday and Sunday you have a matinee at what time?
Yep. 2 p.m. on those matinee shows.
So four different chances to see Sweeney Todd.
That's
from
right.
The Wausau Community Theater. We'll talk about it.
later in the week. We'll have some cast members, I believe, coming in.
Yes, and very exciting.
Talk about the show. So again, if you have an opportunity this coming weekend at the University of Wisconsin at Stevens Point in Wausau, the James F. Venega Theater, make sure you get over there and see Ian Welsh and his compatriots in terms of seeing Sweeney Todd. Real quickly, at the top of the hour during the news update, we had a sound bite from CBS News from Donald Trump and saying that Democrats should open up the government. Democrats should open up the government, that Obamacare is a disaster, and that he and Democrats can get together and have a whole new health care, that be able to fix the health care problems. He has no idea, no plan. He's been saying this for 10 years, since 2015, that he'd have this repeal and replace plan. He had a chance in his first term. He's had a chance when he was running for president. He has a chance right now to say what this plan would be. But it's the Democrats who have to give up the subsidies. And these the subsidies that Donald Trump and the Republican Party are taking away from the American people who are on the Affordable Care Act is more than doubling the premiums as open enrollment started this weekend. So again, when you hear the soundbite, don't just sit here, Donald Trump says Democrats should open up the government, then they can get together and magically have this brand new, incredibly less expensive plan that will be better than the Affordable Care Act. I do believe that there are plans that are better than the Affordable Care Act, but none of which that would be put forward by conservatives. They don't want any sort of government intervention in the healthcare system. They want the private insurance companies to be able to make as much money as possible, spend as little and make as much, basically. I mean, it is ridiculous. And hearing that comment, it's like, how about some perspective behind it? Donald Trump and his allies have had a decade to put out a plan. He has had control of all three branches of the American government for multiple years during that time frame. And yet they have nothing. And their big plan is to take away the subsidies that have kept premiums at a certain level and now expected to double because of this. And his idea is, Democrats, just give that up and come back and negotiate with me, because he's been such a fair negotiator over the over this year, especially, because there's been money that has been put into budgets and has been delegated by the Congress of the United States of America that Donald Trump has then canceled. So his word means nothing. So don't fall for what Donald Trump is saying here, that somehow it's the Democrats that need to reopen the government, that it's the Democrats' fault here. No, this is the Republicans and Donald Trump's doing. They made this bed, and it's time for them to say, if Donald Trump really wants to go to the table with Democrats, then you re-implement these subsidies until you have this magical new plan that he seems to think that can be accomplished.
Exactly.
Give me a break. So I just wanted to make sure that we said that before we wrap things up here this morning.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's go to the number for the day quiz. We'll start a new week.
Brand new week.
Yep, brand new week. And it was on this date in 1992. I voted for the first time in a presidential election.
Okay.
It was election day on November the 3rd of 1992. I was going to school at UW-Eau Claire. There were long lines. The presidential election was between the incumbent George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, and Ross Perot. And the Democratic challenger, Bill Clinton, won the election.
Okay.
However, the third party candidate, Perot, got the third highest percentage for a third party. Theodore Roosevelt, as a progressive, had the most votes. Millard Fillmore, an American Party candidate, a former president as well, second. Your number for the day is, what percentage of the vote did Ross Perot get in 1992? Your choices are 14% of the vote, 19% of the vote, 24% of the vote. So that what percentage Ross Perot get as a third-party independent candidate in 1992?
14, 19, or 22?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to say 19%. Well, 19 is my final answer.
Ross Perot in 1992 got 19% of the vote.
Nice.
So you're one for one.
Start the week with a win. I like that.
Very good. Well, have a enjoyable and safe move-in, and we'll see you tomorrow.
I promise I'll be careful. Happy Monday, everybody. Have a great day.
More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up next on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.